Praise the Lord. Thank you, Princeton. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Princeton. Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know I was telling some one or two folks that I will not be standing here to preach for this year, but unless I more or less just requested for it, I'm not scheduled. Unless I requested for it as the Lord leads. So this is the first one. I said, okay, let me just talk. Praise the Lord. Just talk. And then the pastor said, well, why don't you just, if you don't just talk, why don't you just take the whole session and just talk? So I said, all right, I will take the session. What I wanted to share with all of us is going to be something that all of us are called to do. We are all called to be witnesses unto Jesus. Also. So that is called evangelism. So that is talking. I don't need to do a lot of preparation to do evangelism. I've been doing it all my Christian life. Nigeria, I have a jeep that I go about doing that. But this is going to be a personal evangelism, so I'll go to that. But first of all, I want to advertise this. Watch this video, not the video. This is my Gospel Division Evangelical Association app. Because I noticed that even now, groups are not many people know about this app. And I want you to write the yellow thing down. If you go to your Android or iPhone and you type in Gospel Division, just the way it was, no space. Gospel Division EA means Evangelical Association. You download the app, you see sermons, and not just my own sermons, all the pastors here have the sermons there. And then we're still looking for some more sermons that are going to bless other blessing the believers worldwide. And the reason why I want to advertise it here is because we want to be able to see people from everywhere going to that website and learning. The Bible put in the ministry in the body of Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints, that is the first job. Which means we born again, we need to be perfected. So the word of God that you will see in most of those sermons, my sermons, many of the ministers say, is to perfect the saints. So that is why it is for believers worldwide. I want you to take that one down, and not only for you, I also want you to send it to your friends. We get some people, maybe from once in a while, we get people from Australia that have heard about it, and they will go there. And when anybody, any nation, go to that app, because you know it's an app now, everybody, almost everywhere, everybody has the cell phones, if they listen to it, we could see they are monitoring and say, yeah. Somebody from Ghana, or somebody from England. So I can see that, my brother, if you can scroll to that map, just scroll to that map, you will see, I just wanted to show that, yes, we can. But I want the old nations of the world to be able to say, yeah, we are reaching them, we are reaching them. And the Lord is the one that will do the rest. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. But scroll to the next slide, I just want to see about what we are talking about. We say, okay, when you download the app, this is what you see. This is the icon. When you are on your Android or iPhone, this is what you see. You click on it, you download it, you do open, go to the next slide, and this is how the icon will be. And you can see pastors under the favorite ministries. You see all our pastors there. If you click on there, you see their sermons. Click on that bar, Pastor Iman, you see his sermons. And then you can click on there. This is called Video on Demand. Now the life, the first two live channels you see there, that's like a television. So if you just click on that channel live, somebody is scheduled to be preaching, almost like when you turn on CNN on your internet. And now, of course, you might remember, it's not just on the cell phone. You can get it on Roku channel. You can get this on Roku channel, any of those channels. Amazon TV, you can get it. So if you click on live, somebody is preaching. Be it my brother, it could be that brother, it could be that brother, it could be my brother, and many more. You keep on this one, somebody's preaching. So that is why I'm trying to make you to know about it, use it, send it to people in China. Hey, there's a message that can bless you. Go there and listen. Praise the Lord. For the next slide, brother, I want to let them see. Yeah, this is how we monitor it. Go to the next slide. So you see Roku Channel, Fire TV, Apple TV, even on your app, you can have it on your laptop. It's called a web app. And so I go to the next slide. We are seeing the viewing report. India, Australia, Brazil, Nigeria. I may never get to Brazil. My pastor said I may never get to Brazil. But people are watching some of these things from Brazil, Nigeria, UK, USA. Go to the next slide, brother. Now, that is how the dashboard. I monitor the dashboard to see that, yeah, somebody is watching this from US, from Brazil, from Nigeria, from Australia. And I want to see Russia also. If you know somebody, just send it to them. Hey, watch this, we can bless you. We've got their sermons there. And so on and so forth. So that is why I bring it to advertise it. That's the main purpose of bringing it today. To advertise. Praise the Lord. Now, thank you, brother. You can get that one out of you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the Gospel Division Evangelical Association that you have made available, made possible. We are still looking for more programs to go on those channels. I have three free channels that we are still not using from this service that we are paying for. So we want even drama from youth. We have one drama from that can bless people, radio drama, video drama, and that people can be blessed by it. So Lord, make it happen in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just remembered that. I wanted to mention that. I remember when I was about to pray. I have three channels that are still available that we have not populated, that we are trying to get some more programs. Women ministry. I have women ministry section. There are only a few programs. Children ministry. Also a few programs. Because we want to reach even the Lord told me in the vision that start going after those, you know, grandchildren, our own type of grandchildren, which are like, the oldest of them is like middle schoolers. Start ministering to middle schoolers. We need to get the message to them, to the middle schoolers. That's why we need children's ministry also. So we have some children ministry, but it's not plenty enough, it's not good enough. So if somebody is blessed and you want to say, hey, there are programs that we bless some children that we do, not the one that I can try have to pay for if I want to do get somebody there. Some of you already pay for it, so we can't put them on our channel. We have to do our own. I can say, well, what about Adventures in Odyssey, which my kids were watching when they were young. But if I want to put that on my channel, somebody already licensed it. So I have to pay for that to put it on my channel. A lot of these ones are the ones that we do ourselves. Hey, all these pastors, you know, you see their photo there. My photo also will be there, and so many sermons. So I don't need to pay for that. The only thing I will pay for will be the background music, perhaps, which is one time short. Use it, gospel music. So we need programs. If the Lord puts on your head, I can do women ministry, minister to some people, record it, send it to us, we put it out there. So there are so many channels that we want to use to distribute the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now we are talking about distributing the word of God. No, sir. We want to get the word of God out. The Lord is coming soon. And that is why it is evangelism. We are not evangelizing only the unbelievers. We're in the body of Christ. The word of God needs to go out. We're in the body of Christ. The word of God needs to go out. Praise the Lord. So that brings me to what I call personal evangelism. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Personal evangelism. What do I mean by personal evangelism? That means how to talk to somebody about Christ. And I'm going to, Lord, it reminded me that I should bring a share here. I want to do it like the Lord Jesus Christ did it. How many know that it's good to imitate our Lord Jesus? Say praise the Lord. If you know it's good to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, then you won't be upset that even I sat down. The Lord Jesus Christ borrowed the boat of Simon Peter and said, can you just let me preach from this place because he was standing too long. No, sir. And they were trying to push him into the water. I said, it's away. Simon, or let me, he got into the boat. Bible says he got into the boat and sat down, called the man, can you just push a little? And he sat down, caught them. So he said, well, you sit down and teach this one. Praise the Lord. So I said, okay, there's a chair enough there that I can sit down and talk. If you can't see me there, don't worry, if you can hear me, my face is not that important. Praise the Lord. But the word of God is what you need. So I'm going to talk about personal evangelism today, which means how to talk to somebody about Christ and not be afraid of, that's what the devil uses, intimidation. Make you feel like this man is terrible. He's not going to listen. No, you're already judging things. So I'm going to classify three kinds of listeners that you want to talk to. Nothing. I call the first kind of listeners are the total stranger. A total stranger. Well, that's the we say that's very difficult. It's almost like when you are doing a business and you have to say what you call cold call. You want to call somebody and say, I need to do this. Or I remember when some people are doing real estate and you are a sales agent. Cold call is when you just call somebody by, you don't know him, and you just call their phone number and they can just, hello. I say, hey, I'm just drop it and nothing. Sometimes you feel like so ashamed. That's called cold call. It's not easy to do cold call. Or you want to go to somebody's knock on the door and say, who is that? And they open the door and say, I want to talk about Jesus. They shut the door on you. That's cold call. But if they are, those are groups of people I mean by cold call. Or you are walking the street, you just meet somebody on the street. That's delicate. I mean, difficult, but I'm going to talk on that as it be the last part, really. Then you have the neighbors or people that you interact with. Those are people that you already know them. They already know you, business partners, your co-workers. They are your neighbors that you can easily, they already know who you are, but they have their own way of life and you want to talk to them. There's another intimidation, you know. But there is a method that I'm going to point out in how to proceed with some of those. And then the third group of people are those that are called, those who are already, Holy Ghost already work on them. And they come to you and say, how can I be saved? Oh, well, the door is open. So that's easy. Awesome. If somebody come like the story of the jailer, when Paul and Silas were in jail, and the Bible says after the miracle happened, that jailer fell and said, what should I do to be saved? Well, the door is open. Just speak on and tell him about everything, you know. Awesome. So that is the third group. But I'm going to, all of those are all based on one thing. You are trying to make, you are trying to harvest, you are trying to bring forth fruit. And direct leading of the Lord is the fourth one, which actually encompasses everything. Encompasses everything, direct leading. That is, the Lord leads you to a particular person. Now, there are two things that can happen in that. Don't think anytime the Lord leads you, that fellow must be saved. But not necessarily. And I will give you some testimonies of that. Where the Lord can actually lead you, either in the dream or in the vision, go to our so-and-so, talk to somebody. And you can go there and the man may not give in. Maybe you're just planting a seed. Okay, so that's possible. Or something dangerous is going to happen to that family. God is giving you a warning for them and they didn't receive it or they repent. So that leading of the Lord is essential in everything. Even when you're going to talk to somebody, or I know we have a SWAT team and they go from a camp to maybe a park and you guys try to talk to people in the park. You may see a lot of people, maybe the Lord leads you to one person. That's, the leading is necessary in everything that we are talking about here today. And when the Lord leads you, it look, most likely it's going to be a crop at your beginning. It's also going to be a warning to that person that you are talking to that may walk away. Okay, so that's why I give some testimonies of that also when I'm talking here today. But let's go slowly, step by step, about this thing I call personal evangelism. The first one I wanted to talk about is that of somebody that say, what must I do to be saved? That is the third group. The Holy Ghost already worked on developed. And you wanted to, he knew you to be a minister or a brother, and then he just came to, what should I do to be saved? That's the example that I gave. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They were singing in the prison. And then something happened that made them to, that there was a earthquake, and the jailer finally came and said, what must I do to be saved? Which means he had, either he heard them before he put them in slumber, before the mighty things happened, or he was talked to them before while he was putting them in handcuffs. People have told him that you also need to be saved from us, from hell. He said, may not believe it. But now he saw the earthquake and terrible things happen, and then he came back and said, that thing you told me about, what must I do to be saved? And then, give me Romans chapter 10, verse 9. What I want to is to tell us, what do they have to do to be saved? Apostle Paul summarizes this to that jailer, and he said, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I want to give some broad, small testimonies concerning some of these things. There's a minister that gave an example. He gave that example that in a church where he was invited to preach, they have a Bible study in that church. And one man that had been witness to, he was coming to that church praying, oh God, save me, oh God, save me, oh God, save me, oh God, save me. But he was not saved, according to what they were saying, he was not saved. And he came to their prayer meeting every morning for 6 months. No, he was not saved. And then this evangelist, Kenneth Hagin, pastor, he said, when he told him about it, he said he knew what was the problem of the man. Why was he not saved? So, okay, he called the man up in the congregation while he was preaching. He said, you need to confess this Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because this man, they just told him, believe. He said, believe what? I believe God. I believe God. This is what the Bible said. He said, just go by the Bible. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess Jesus is my Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So he just pointed to the man that this is what you must do. Not, you have been praying, God save me, oh God save me, oh God save me. He said, no, God said, confess it. Confess Jesus is my Lord. And then believe it that God raised him from the dead. That was how they started in the first church. They were trying to convince the Jews that he rose from the dead. And the Jews were saying that no, these people came to steal him out and try to do deception. But see, they are trying to emphasize that any Jew that was going to believe has to believe that he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. That's why. And then they have to confess it with their mouth. Because you can say, well, maybe it's possible. Well, you are still having doubts. So he said, you have to confess with your mouth. And then believe that I am saved. Well, you can do it. If you believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord. And God raised him from the dead. You believe it in your heart. Then you say, you are saved. And then just confess that I'm saved. That minister said, he told the man to confess that. The man said, yeah, but I'm not saved. He said, but say with your mouth, I am saved. According to the word of God, thou shalt be saved. The one that man said it, he felt reluctant to say it in the congregation. He thought, I'm not saved yet, because he was looking for something. But you can't keep saying, I'm not saved. When the Bible said, if you do this and do this, you shall be saved. Just confess now that now I am saved. And the man said, okay, I'm saved. Reluctantly in the congregation, he said, I'm saved. He said something came upon him. He just felt a peace in his heart. And that was the deliverance for that brother. So you have to know how to lead people to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say. Because people are saying, well, gee, I'm having about this born again thing. Born again, born again. How do you get born again? What do you tell them? You say, believe in Jesus Christ. I say, well, I believe Jesus Christ. Some people believe in Jesus Christ is like a head knowledge. That is, they just agree. They just agree with the man. They agree with the religion. Yeah, I agree. Do you believe from your heart that he rose from the dead? You have to believe it in your heart and then confess it with your mouth. That is the difficult part. People are ashamed. They're looking around. I cannot confess this. No, if you have to confess it with your mouth. That testimony is important. You see, I will say it quietly in my bedroom. Yeah, you can say it quietly in your bedroom. But God wants to say it before the people. Because then you are giving your life on the line. See, you're putting your life on the line. They might kill you. Yeah, I'm ready to die for him. Then Jesus Christ said, "Now this is mine. It's not claiming you." So that is why it is important to confess with your mouth. So I said, we started with those people that they don't know what to do. They have been going to church all their lives. And then they heard about, David gave a good example of that testimony. When I was in Nigeria, preaching about with my Jeep, from village to village, every Saturday, I'm going further away from my base. And I got to a place one time, I'm preaching this village, as I was driving away, one young man waved me down and said, "Please, I need to be baptized in water. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" Yes, he has been listening to radio stations that preach the gospel. And he wanted to be, and he believed he has given his life to Christ. So do you believe in Jesus? Okay, so I took him in my Jeep, went to the nearest river, and did the baptism for him. Did he have my towel in his hand? He doesn't care. He just went to the river and do the baptism for him and jumped over and he was praising the Lord. So that is somebody that I mean say he was ready. If they are ready, they come to you and say, "Hey, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ." Well, you just go through these steps. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And let them do it. Let them confess Jesus and then pray for them. Get them baptized in water. Leave the rest to Jesus. Amen. That's what I'm saying. Leave the rest to Jesus. Those are the people that they are already ready. Holy Ghost has worked on them. Now, let's talk about those that are not in that group. Your neighbors and your interacts. People that you do business with, but that's what many of you and me, we deal with. Your co-workers. Many of you nurses, you want to talk to nurses, co-workers, or the people that are, and you know they are not born again, you know they are not Christians, and you are afraid to talk to them. No, so I was in that same situation. Even though I was bold enough to go with my Jeep to the streets, I still have co-workers after I come back every morning. But how do I talk to them? They already knew you, they already making all the mockery of you. So they could be doing that. But then how do you minister to such people? Now that is where you see some examples here. For co-workers, you must have a life. A lifestyle. That's where you see your fruit. They are seeing your fruit is very important. Also, the fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. So if you can't tell them that Jesus Christ has saved your life, Jesus Christ is your Lord, Jesus Christ is, and you say from today forward, I'm no more like that. If you can tell them that, they want to see it. They may think you are making it up. They may be making mockery of you, but if they are seeing a consistency of your lifestyle, they are being convicted. So that is where that comes into play. I mean, your lifestyle that they are seeing daily, then that kind of convince them that this man is different. Let's be honest with you. This man is different. So that is very important. And then they want to, and now how do you minister to them? Even though you are showing your life, the goodness of the Lord, somebody is sick, be bold enough to go and pray. Can I pray for you? If they are really sick, they won't mind, say, pray for me. Well, they may say, I'm that religion. Yeah. But can I pray for you? And if you begin to pray for them, and they see the result, we have seen testimonies like that in many parts of, even up to now, prayer that the Lord answered and the miracles happen, yeah, they begin to believe what you are talking about, nothing. Because now you are bringing the kingdom of God to them. That's what Christ said. When you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is come upon you. I mean, that's the power of the kingdom to come. So when they see those testimonies of your life, which they have been observing, they may not come forward and say, I want to give my life to Christ. But when they see you ministering to them by your help, even if you just help your neighbors, and they see that you are helpful, you are kind, different from every other person, then they are monitoring that. When they were sick and you go there and you pray with them or pray for them, they realize that. So that is where the neighbors and the interacts come into play. Very important. Let me give you an example of that. Think of, for example, even Peter, Apostle Peter. You see some of these stories of Apostle Peter in the scriptures. The Bible said Peter had a boat. He was a fisherman, very, very busy-minded person. He has his own boat. And the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching by the lake, and he came by Peter's boat and said, "Can you just let me borrow your boat and push a little bit to the out of the shore?" And he sat down. Jesus Christ sat down there and talked to the people, preached unto them. And after he was done with the preaching, he told Peter, "Launch out into the deep for a drought." And Peter said, "Oh, Master, we have toiled all night. The fishes, they are not biting tonight. We caught nothing." Then he remembered, "Well, at thy word, I will launch into the deep." So he went and launched into the deep. The Lord sat down, smiling, cast the net, and then they couldn't draw the fish, too much fish. Now, what is that? He just brought heaven down, kingdom of heaven, to their life. So they saw the demonstration of power. That's what I mean. That your neighbors, when they see that, definitely they will begin to listen, or they want to have what you have. If they see the demonstration of the power of the Lord, that's why you pray for the sick. Maybe you have been bold enough to talk to them, and they think that's your religion. That's our religion. But their religion has not been helping them. Maybe you come and pray. That is going on in many places. Among the Buddhists, I have a magazine of what called the Voice of the Martyrs. And the same magazine I have monthly, and I got subscribed to that. And they give testimony of people in the Buddhist land, you know, not all of us in the Oriental, Vietnam and so on. They were following Buddha, and this woman was sick. Buddha couldn't help her. And some church members, Christians, came by and said, "We can pray for you, the Lord will help you." After the woman has not been helped for years, she agreed, "Okay, you guys pray for me." And they prayed for her, and she got healed, because the Lord Jesus Christ will honor the word. And the woman gave her life to Christ. She said, all the villagers said, "No, you are Buddhist." No, he said, "Buddha couldn't help me. These people came and prayed for me." That's why she believed them. And she followed Christ because of the, that is what the signs are to do. So that's why I'm saying that when you bring heaven, the kingdom of heaven, to them, in all this demonstration of the life of Christ, the power of God, then they are ready to accept your lifestyle, and they are ready to give into Jesus that you are preaching about. So we have testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies of that. That's just one example. Now let's go to the third one. Well, let me just, before I go to the third one, which is actually the first one I talk about, this total stranger, let me give my own testimony of neighbors. When I say neighbors, people that you know that are your neighbor and they have seen you, you interact with them. And I have a testimony I wrote down when I was in Nigeria, and I was, I was preaching about, but there was a, in that place where I live, was the town was called Lanlate. That was the name of the town. And in that town, Lanlate, we had a company of Nigerian soldiers that were camped, that they have their barrack in that city. Why were they there? Because we have the satellite station, the only communication between Nigeria and the world in those days, through television. So we have the satellite station. So because of that satellite station, that's a great asset for the country. So they have a camp, a company of soldiers in Lanlate. And maybe, I don't know how many of them, 100 or less. So some of them are guarding that place, and they have somebody above them. So I know where their camp was. So occasionally, but they have been there for almost 2 years, going with my jeep from in that town, preaching everywhere. So the soldiers, I covered some of the soldiers. And one of them even started his own church there, that was part of this. So they have an elderly man that was like their captain. He must have seen me. I was a young man in those days. I was just 20 something, coming to college graduate. So he must have seen me go up and down with them, and they have their decision or whatever their mind about this preacher. And of course, I drive car. So they know he was one of these engineers in that satellite station. So one Saturday afternoon, I just felt led in my spirit to go to that camp. I mean, to their barrack, not camp, a barrack. And it's more, well, it's a temporary barrack that they make for them. So I just drove in there with some trucks. So as I drove in there, that guy was an elderly man, maybe in his 60s, and I was in my 20s. And he came almost to welcome me. He came to almost to welcome me, like, oh, this is the preacher here, coming with his jeep. Of course, most of these soldiers don't have cars. But they have almost like, they made a, like, what you call apartments then. And the women and their wives and their children were there. And in the afternoon, many of them were there. So as I drove, I parked my car, and I didn't actually go to the microphone. I just took some tracks, but I could see them there. And he just came by and welcomed me and invited me. Oh, yeah, come on. He said, how are you? How are you? So, and I was talking to him, and he just took me to his own apartment with like an open, like open space where and his wife was lying down on the floor, sick. I didn't even know. And he just told me about his wife or so and so. I said, well, let me pray for your wife. And I just did what Jesus Christ did when he came to Simon Peter's house. Remember the story of Simon Peter? So he went to Simon Peter's house, saw his mother-in-law sick, and just grabbed the mother-in-law's hand and lifted the woman. And that was what I did. I prayed for the woman and lifted the woman that was groaning. And I left early and I was talking with this man and some other soldiers, men, and their wives are all meandering around that front of the apartment. And the woman just rose up, telling everybody that, look, my reverend, he was talking of a reverend Catholic church, my reverend couldn't help me. This man prayed for me, and I'm healed. It was fever. Of course, if you have fever, you know, your body, your aching. That was why he was lying there. But when she was healthy and well, he was giving testimony to everybody right before my, I didn't even take it seriously until recently. I said, well, that woman was testifying to everybody that this man prayed for me, and they are, this is my reverend. Can I do this? These people are, what they are preaching is true. So that's why I mean that when you are talking to your neighbors, bring kingdom of heaven to apply in their life, they will notice it, and they will give testimony. They will easily give their life to Jesus Christ. That's just a testimony. Now, the third group is the people that we say strangers. Total strangers. How do you do that? Because there's a lot. The devil come with intimidation on you. I want to talk to strangers. That man, he didn't like people like this. He hated religion. You don't know. It gives many ideas to you to make you be afraid. But no, don't be afraid. The first thing I want you to know about when you are trying to talk the gospel, even to your neighbor, even to the other guy over there, remember, you are the one that know what you want to do. It is between you and the Lord. Everybody that is looking around, looking at you, don't know what you really plan to do. So don't let their faces intimidate you. That's what I normally tell myself most of the time. Because you see that fellow, I need to go and talk to him about Jesus. You are moving closer. They will try to say, everybody is looking at you. They all think you are nuts. But that's just the devil whispering to your mind. Don't listen to that. You are the one that know what you really want to do. Especially when it comes to total strangers. Let's go to an example of this total stranger that the Lord himself showed to us in John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. This is the story of the Lord Jesus talking to this woman. As they say, the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, starting from verse 1. And you can see how the Lord did that. So that's why I'm going to go through this one slowly. You can see how the Lord did that. That was a strange, total stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you want to talk to a total stranger, you start by just doing conversation. That's what I'm trying to point out. conversation, but you know where you are trying to lead to. Don't let the devil intimidate you. The devil try to intimidate we preachers or believers not to talk to that fellow. You are not going to start religion here. He is telling you that you are starting religion. No, you are not starting the religion. You are not talking about religion. You are talking about life. The life and death situation. If that fellow you are trying to talk to knows that if he or she is on the way to hell, lake of fire, serious disaster. If she knows it or he knows it and believes it, he will want you to help him get out of that road. No, so. So it is a life and death situation. And they will try to intimidate you and say, don't start religion here. This, you are religious fanatic. No, you are bringing life. Life. Remember, you have life with you to give to people. So know that that's your goal. Number two, remember that you are the only one that knows what you are trying to do. Don't let the enemy trick you and try to say everybody knows you that you are going to talk religion. Even if everybody knows you, it doesn't matter. But when you start this conversation with this stranger, you are the only one that knows what you are trying to do. So start with the common thing. Maybe talk about the weather. Look at how the Lord Jesus Christ handled this one. In chapter 4 of Gospel of John. So that's why I say we talk to this one slowly. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized none but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. I'm just going to read through it slowly and then talk at the point. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now I'm on verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, that is where we are going. So, this woman came to draw water. You can imagine the woman coming lunch, noontime, and saw a stranger sitting on the well. The first thing was, well, she about to turn back. A stranger, a man, a stranger, a Jew for that matter, and she was a Samaritan. People have said, I better turn back. Until the stranger leaves, no? She didn't, because she was a free woman. She don't care. That's what she called us, a free woman. But Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ was not the Lord, he most likely would have said, a Samaritan coming, quickly let's get out of that well and let the Samaritan get out of the place, because that's how they try to do to Samaritans. They think they are not indeed, they are not that. But the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to preach the gospel, to witness. So that is why I say you have your plan. Your goal is to witness to this person. You will bring the person to Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ did the same thing. So the woman came, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, give me to drink. That was what? Almost like starting discussion with the weather. Nice weather today. Or anybody will respond to that also. They can't say, why are you talking to me? No, nobody is talking to you. Nice weather today. Oh yeah, nice weather. And then look for the next thing to say. So look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Give me to drink. And the woman saw the opportunity to lambast the Jews. No? So don't let that intimidate you. She saw the opportunity to lambast the Jews. She said, you, we are Samaritans. Look at what she said. Then, first line, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? But the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Almost like in days where you have the black and the white in America. And the white man was the one that was sitting on the well and said, come to the black man and say, well, look, we are not, I can't even talk to you, you are black or you are white. That's how they were in those days. Jesus Christ was talking to a Samaritan and a woman, not a woman Samaritan. The Pharisees would never do that. But that was why the woman wanted to say, well, opportunity to lambast this juicy. How come you are talking to me? Asking me for water. And Jesus answered and said, well, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Well, they are still talking about water, not so. They are still talking about water. So the woman would say, well, you have some water. She could have gone to another and said, well, if you have water, why are you asking me for water then? Not so. But the woman wanted to play along. Well, she said, woman, so you must be free to play along. But if you are the type that say, well, don't you talk to women? I remember when I was preaching about, I was still single. Somebody said, well, you always only talk to women. Mostly women want to leave because they have more issues than men. Men are so calm, more pocket. If you have not noticed, you go start preaching on the street like I did. You notice that some women are easier to talk to than men. Because they thought they got the whole world figured out. I mean, most men, unbelievers I'm talking about. But when you are talking to women, most of them, they quickly listen. Especially because, go to any churches. I was in the CAC, Christ Apostolic Church, before I even gave my life to Christ. And I gave that testimony here one time ago where I said, when the terrible thing happened and I was being attacked by the devil and I had to go and sleep overnight in that church crying unto God. About 12 to 13 people in that place, mostly women, crying unto God too for trouble that they are going through. So there's trouble. Most women have lost prayer. That's why you see many times the women are going to listen quickly to what you want to say. That is why it's sometimes easier to talk to women. But if you talk to the man, they think they know everything, most of his men. But those who are humble, see the Pharisees, only one of them came by night to come to Jesus. Why by night? Because he's a man. Amen. Most of the time they are like that. So don't be surprised if you find that most of the men are not going to be easy to reach unless the Holy Ghost has already walked ahead. So Jesus Christ said, if you know who's asking you for water, you would have asked me for water. And I would have given you living water. The man wanted to play along and say, well, thou hast nothing to draw water with. That's verse 11. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water you are talking about? Now, she threw in another caveat to Jesus. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the water, the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Now, they use that terminology to diffuse situations. Somebody is trying to be proud. They say, well, are you greater than the prophets? So the man says, no, I'm not. Why? Because the prophets were already acknowledged by God, and who knows you? So that's what they use to bring people down. Are you greater than Abraham? Are you greater than Jacob? Well, according to their scriptures, God has already acknowledged Abraham. God has acknowledged Jacob. Now, who are you to say you are big? So that's why he threw that one into Jesus, said, are thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this way? And the Lord is, of course, you know, the Lord is the one that created even Jacob and Abraham, so he kept playing along. The Lord kept on talking about water. But you see, he was leading the woman to something. Let's go, you see in verse 13. So the Lord continued and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, that be in him a well of water, bringing up into his everlasting life. Now the woman kept praying along, okay. All right, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come is out of fresh water. No, it's the same kind of talking about water and playing around with words. The woman said, well, this man is a joker. Let me play along. Give me that water now, okay. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, all right, since you asked for the water, well, let's make it official. I mean, to make it official, you can't give somebody, another man's wife, something behind the husband's back or secretly. It's not ethical. So he said, okay, well, go call your husband. Both of you come over here so I can get the water. And the woman said, well, I have no husband. I mean, dealing with husband, I don't report to nobody. That's what she wants to say. Just give me what you want to give to me. So Jesus Christ said, verse 18. 17. Thou hast well said. The Lord was leading this woman to the gospel. But you are, like I said, you are the one that know where you are leading this discussion to. Don't let the devil shut. If you say something, the woman shut you down and say, I don't want to talk religion. No, you have to find a way to continue. Also, sometimes it can be like that. Once you say you are talking religion, no, I'm not religious. In America, yeah, I've talked to people and they say, I'm not religious. They want to shut you down. If you can bring it from another angle, you might keep the conversation going. I can give a testimony of that somewhere when I was preaching or when I was walking. And somebody that says he's an atheist, a co-worker, atheist. And we are working in the lab, and it was me and him in the same lab, and he's atheist. So I started bringing him from the scientific part. When he couldn't debate that, he said, well, he's turned from being atheist to agnostic. Well, maybe they say God, but I just don't know. So now it's getting closer and closer. Now you have to continue to bring it from another angle. So that is why I said you must know the world. Sometimes know the weather if you are going to go with the weather. Sometimes know science if you are going to go through science. So the Lord asks every one of us from different disciplines. That's why I could talk from scientific part. Maybe I can talk from the electronics. I was talking to this man. I'm talking about we are doing cybersecurity thing. I know. So I can bring it from the electronics to engineering. I'm in that direction so I can talk. So you are in medical something, you are in nursing. Be able to bring it from the medical. Hey, look, there are some doctors that have found out that, look, what you are dealing with is physical. But we are more than physical. We are a physical human being. I can bring it from the computer to you right now. That because I remember my son was a doctor. I said, you guys are dealing with physical body. Like I was an electronic engineer, and I can open this thing that is called electronics and repair it. Because that was my field, electronic engineering and computer. I can open it and repair, but I'm only dealing with what you call hardware. But that's not the only thing that makes this computer to work. Just like this physical body, it's not the only thing that, but that's all they know. They can cut the heart out and now try to put another artificial heart. And all those things, those are hardware. That's the computer also hardware. But in the computer, it's what you call software that is making the computer to talk. Now, what is our spirit and soul? That is the software of this physical body. The same way this thing that is pumping the blood, that's what they call heart. But that's not really the one that is doing the job. The spirit and the soul. What's causing, they say, well, that is it. But what about if you have hardware and you have software, you know that computer still may not work. What is missing? Well, the pastor here is a software guy. Can you tell me what's missing? You know, you have hardware, you have software. What can be missing?
Power!
Power! Electricity! That's the third element. Well, now you can bring it to where, see, you have the hardware, you have spirit and soul, but we are not connected to heaven. The Holy Ghost is the power that is the power of heaven. That is why woman being fair. So that is, you are, now when you bring it to that, in that direction, you are beginning to open the eyes of these people. I say, So that's why I said the man that was atheist begins, and he's an electronic engineer into computer, they begin to say, well, maybe agnostic. From now, I say, well, let me now go from agnostic, try to bring it to, then you come back to religion. Well, there are so many religions, I don't know which one is right. Now you are beginning closer and closer to home. Praise the Lord. So that is what you see in this discussion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought this woman from being just talking about water. And I say, okay, you want the water? Go, let's make it official. Go call your husband. And the woman said, I have no husband. So Christ said, now, say, well, thou hast well said that I have no husband. But thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Now, that opened the eyes of the woman and said, how do you know that? Well, she knew that were prophets. She was Samaritan, they were Israelites, mix up. They said, well, how do you know that? You must be a prophet. So she now, she herself changed the subject. That's what I'm trying to say. Now you are going, she's ready to talk the religion. Now she wanted to lambast the Jews again. Because she said, well, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's verse 19. Then she also wanted to talk religion to this stranger that is a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say, meaning that you Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So now she was talking religion also. So you can bring somebody from just discussing whether the politics, the economics, and bring them to where they are ready to listen to what you have to say about the end of the world is near. Also, yeah, that's where you're leading them to. The end of the world is near. Well, everybody knows that if they start a nuclear bomb now, something is going to happen. They say, well, have you made your peace with Christ? What? Yeah, if you make your peace with God, we are all going to die. That's a nuclear war. But where are you going from here? Oh, you can say, I don't believe there's any place after this world. Maybe you want to tell him the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Okay. So now you are bringing the discussion to where they are ready to listen to what you have to say. Is it religion? No, you're talking about life now. This is life. Where do you go from here? And you can even point to there are some people that have gone there and back. Somebody told me long time ago, who has gone there and come back and tell us? I said, well, there are people that are going to heaven, either they die and rise again, or the doctors are now seeing that there is life after death because of all this. No, life after death things they are seeing, even in the hospitals. Some people are giving that testimony. So that is where you are bringing them to now see whether they are, it's now your choice, you are going to accept. And if you are dying today, where are you going? That's where you are bringing them to what we call religion. They will say, well, that's religion. Now, you say, this is not religion, this is life. It's life. Where do you go from here? So now Jesus Christ was in verse 21 said, woman, believe me, the Lord now was going to tell this woman whom he is. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But we have to realize that when the Jews have the salvation, everything's coming. The salvation we are talking about has to come through the Jews because he is coming through the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this is where the woman wants to shut him down. Look at what the woman said. Well, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. It's more like saying, well, end of discussion. We said this. Did you say that? You are telling something new. The Messiah will resolve it. That's what he was saying. The Messiah will soon resolve it. Will I just wait for the Messiah? He is the answer. And then the Lord said, I that speak unto you, I am he. That is where the Lord was leading him to. And you know that was the only place where the Lord revealed himself to any person. A woman, a Samaritan. That you can say, this kind of a woman, yeah. The woman was still religious. That's why she was quoting what they believe, what the Jews believe, what they are confronting one another with. The Christ said, I am the Messiah. Now, people said it was because the Lord told her of her life. That was why she now believed. No, it was much more than that. The next thing that happened was what really opened her eyes, which is not part of what you are talking about, but I just wanted to throw that in. Because what anybody can say, I am the Messiah. The woman already agreed, yeah, you must be a prophet to tell me my life. Yeah, you must be a prophet. Well, there are many prophets. Elisha, Elijah, all of those ones. More ones too, that are running around, claim to be prophets. You must be a prophet. But for you to say you are the Messiah, prove it. Not just because you told him Elijah. We knew Elisha could do that. Or Jeremiah could do that. Some of the other prophets can even do that. You are the Messiah. Prove it. You met somebody, a stranger, by himself, by the well, and he said something that, no, he must be a prophet. And then he said, he is the one that is Messiah. How should I believe that? And what followed is what really made the woman to say, something is happening in the world that is behind our nose that we didn't know about what happened. Verse 27. And upon this came his disciples. That was what sealed it in. What do you mean by that? 12 men. I'm not talking of just one man. Most of the prophets go with a servant. Elijah the prophet, he has to follow him. Maybe Elisha, maybe they have two. 12 men. Calling me rabbi, rabbi. Oh, I've seen strange things in by the world today. He ran. Go tell. Come and see what's happening here. Now, what are you going to tell me? Because I saw 12 men. No. He told me all my life. So that was why everyone thought that was why he should believe. Yeah, and that was part of it. Just simply see that he was a prophet. But not a prophet with 12 disciples. Calling him rabbi. Rabbi. That was what sealed it. Like, wow, wait a minute. Something is happening at the way. Everybody come and see. Is this not the Messiah? And the whole city ran to come and see. But see, what we are pointing out is the meeting a stranger. That's what we are talking about. And now you're going to start discussion with a stranger. Start with what you know. You're bringing conversation. Because the stranger does not know you. You can't say, well, don't you see my life? What life? Because I didn't smoke cigarettes, well, I don't smoke cigarettes either. No, sir. Oh, I'm not drinking alcohol, well, we don't even drink alcohol in our city. So now you say, well, maybe you give some signs. I wonder, like, our Lord Jesus Christ stole his life, well, he won't be a prophet. But now lead the fellow into what? To what you really want, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. So that was what the Lord Jesus Christ was showing to us an example there. That's a perfect example of how testimonies can, how you can bring a stranger to know about Jesus Christ. Now, I talk about the leading of the Lord, which will be the final part I'm going to wrap it up with. Everything we talk about today, if the Lord is leading you, it is easier to minister to the person you are ministering to. And it's possible that the Holy Ghost already worked on that person. All you are doing is to just harvest. Everything we are doing is harvest. But if you are not led, that is what I call cold call. You knock on somebody's door and they may listen and say, I go to that church too. I'm of this church, of that church. And you may not really bring them. It may come into an argument and debate, which will not bring anything in. But if you are led by the Holy Ghost, it's easier. Many people have given testimony where they saw in a dream or the Lord spoke to them and said, go to address so and so and go there and you meet somebody that listens, you give their life to Christ. I have several testimonies of that in my ministry, even when I was preaching about, even when I was still, not even a preacher, just in Nigeria, I was still a college student, the angel of the Lord showed in the vision and said, it's a dorm or a dorm. Go to room number so of clinical hall and ask for so and so person. Okay, what's the message? Oh, gospel. So I went there, room number so and so. Is anybody by a so name here? Yeah. And then you talk. That is leading of the Lord. God is still doing that. I was listening to a testimony from my ministry. We are two, what you call this? Prayer warriors, they were witnessing about. And this woman is the wife of the pastor. She always go with, after they do the prayer meeting, they split into two by two and visit some houses and so. This woman, the wife of the pastor, said they just prayed and then she had more like a vision or a visitation and said she saw an address, more like a vision. Crossing street. And she saw themselves went to a particular house and that's in that street and knock on the door. And that was where the vision ended. And she came back and said, well, I never even know that street. Is there any crossing street like that in this city? So she asked her husband and said, well, yeah, let's look at the map. Well, it's way on that side, the crossing street, Old Street and so and so. And how do we get there? She said, well, take this highway, freeway. And then she called her partner where they always go about to witness, well, let's go and try it. If this vision is correct, we will see the address, we will see the house. But she didn't know what will happen. The vision ended when she said they knocked on that door. So that's how sometimes the Lord can lead you. If he didn't tell you the result, it means that it may be a surprise. So this woman, she said she went with her prayer warrior partner. They drove. Our husband has said, if you go on this freeway, you exit this, so you get to that cross street, that should be 3rd Street and so on street, okay. And they say, okay, yeah, they got there, say, well, yeah, make a left there. That apartment, yeah, that's the apartment she saw in the vision. And say, room so and so. Say, they went upstairs. And so, yeah, room one, say, knock on the door. That was how the vision ended. But when they knocked on the door, a woman, they said, come on in. And they went in and saw the woman lying on the bed, sick. And when the woman saw them, the woman started screaming and said, she had a dream that a woman and two women came to pray for her, and she was well. And before they came, she had that dream overnight. So when they got there, they had the woman just saw them, right, and say, that was what happened. She said, well, that must be that what God went. So they just prayed for the woman. And the woman was healed. So that is how the Lord can lead you to do signs and wonders. But sometimes it may not be as easy as that. Let me give you my own testimony. When I say it may not be as easy as that, it may not end up the way you are thinking of. That, oh, this is going to be just like that. When I was in NYSC, many of you Nigerians know what it's NYSC, National Youth Service Corps, after you graduated from college, go for 1 year to serve the government. So during that year, I was posted in a place where I was given a room in one of those dormitories, and witnessing about as I normally would do. One Sunday, because it was a foreign section, I was in the northern part of Nigeria, and I really don't speak their language. They speak Hausa, but many people speak English. But on Sundays, I mostly just stay in my, I didn't go anywhere, just praising the Lord. But that Sunday, led my attitude to go, stand up and go witness. Going towards the town. So I stood up about 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. Stood up, got some tracks with me, and some my Bible, and I was walking, going through the town to this town. And I have to go through the, what you call, staff quarters for this compound where I was working. It's called Veterinary Institute. So they have doctors, medical workers, vet doctors, and they have many other people, and they have staff houses for them. So I have to go through that staff house. As I was passing, walking through those staff houses, the Lord said, make a left here. So I will make a left, say, make another left here. Make another left. Passing these houses, they are like bungalows, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, on right or left. I said, not this house. Okay. So I knock on the door. There was nobody on the street. So I knock on the door, ring the bell. I'm talking of Nigeria now. And a young girl opened the door. About 12-year-old. To my surprise, she was Chinese. I never knew they were Chinese in Nigeria. She was Chinese looking. But I said, that first baffled me that it's Chinese. Is anybody at home? He said, yeah, my daddy's at home. Okay, can you call your daddy? So she called her daddy, and the daddy happened to be in Nigeria. Oh, so I thought, I was not thinking I was going to talk to a Chinese, but it was actually, his wife was Chinese. So the girl was purely Chinese, as far as I was cool. But the man came was Nigerian. So I said, I was wearing NYC dress, so they knew about the National Youth Service, so he welcomed me. Oh, welcome, come on in. Was a big man in the place, he might be one of their veterinary doctors. And if I met him before, but I've been there for almost 20 months. So, okay, come on in, sit down. So I sat down, started the discussion about, I'm talking to you about Jesus. I just felt led here to come and talk to you about Jesus Christ. And the man was atheist, and debated me for almost 1 hour, debated me. I said, look, if Jesus is real, if this miracle is alive, I will go and bring some blind people, and you heal him right now before my eyes, then I will believe. Or I'll bring a cup of water, turn it to wine right before my eyes, then I will believe. He was telling me to do that. I said, no. If you have anybody sick right now, let's pray for him right now, you get well. The man stopped. He paused. Just threw it away. He said, now. And kept talking that water. I said, drink a cup. Let me bring a cup of water. I turned it to wine. And I was saying, no, bring a sick person and I'll pray for him and I'll get away. So we argued, debated for 1 hour. I said, Lord, why did you lead me to this place? And then while we were talking, another friend of his came by and so that joined him and they became two against one. That was much worse than him as atheist. And said, these people are just making money and lambasted me and I couldn't get anywhere. While we were talking, his daughter, that's a Chinese girl, and another girl that just came around the bed said, they were going somewhere and they said, Daddy, bye. And they said, oh. And that man said, are they going to meet their mom? I said, yes. I didn't know what was going on. Unknown to me, that was why the Lord led me to that place. Unknown to me, that was why the Lord led me to that place. For 1.5 hours of my Sunday time, I went out of that room dejected. And Lord, why did you lead me to this man that's an atheist and refused to purge? So by the time I left, it was already 2 p.m. or something like that, so I went back to my room. But I was just scratching my head, Lord. I thought you lead people to get them saved. And I debated this man for 2 hours, and another man joined him, and they all debated me and make me look like a fool. Why in the world you lead me to this man? Not knowing what was going on. The daughter left, somebody was taking them to the hospital. The mom was sick in the hospital, going to die. I didn't know about that. They didn't talk about that. That was why the man paused when I talk about, if you have anybody sick now, let me pray for him. Me and you pray and we'll get him well. He stopped. He just waved it off. The second morning was Monday. And I walked in the same complex in what we call engineering building, engineering facility. In the engineering section, I was the only engineer posted there. They have an electrical section, they have a carpentry section. They have the second, they are in the engineering section. So I just walked to the office and then maybe around noontime, I needed to go find something at the carpenter's shop. And I was walking to the carpenter's shop, I saw them building what? A coffin. Coffin? I called him. Who's coffin? What's coffin? The man that I talked to yesterday night, the engineer, or the atheist, was standing by there, sober. And the man came and said, that coffin is for his wife. Why? He died in the hospital. Then I understood why the Lord led me to that man's house a day before. It was Sunday, and this was Monday. And why the kids, I'm just putting it, that is why the kids were going to the hospital. To go and see their mom has been hospitalized. And why the man refused to let me pray for her. That's why I said, the Lord can lead you does not mean that they are going to be saved or they are going to be delivered. The witness. He said, you preach to all the world as a witness unto them. I remember hearing the testimony of Kenneth Hagin talking about the same type of thing. He said they were praying, a prayer group in his church when he was pastor. They were praying, he just saw a vision of one of their members of their church that was on wheelchair. And they marched, he saw them in that vision, marched to this sister's house, and the sister was sitting on the wheelchair. His wife and the other women that were praying was in the corner. He was the only man that was pastor. And he just said, my sisters, rise up and walk. And the vision stopped. So when he saw that vision, that was what I hear in his testimony. When he saw that vision, he knew that the Lord wanted to do something to that woman. So he said, he didn't say anything. They went the following time. Well, he just told the prayer warrior, let's move. He didn't tell the prayer warriors what they are going to do. Let's go to Sister So-and-so's house. So they all marched to the Sister So-and-so's house and called the sister, put the sister right. She tried to make it look like how he saw the vision. Put the sister right at this corner. You women, sister at this corner, let's begin to pray in the spirit. And he said he was praying in the spirit. The woman also filled the Holy Ghost. Praying in the spirit. He said, after he felt the anointing, he said, now my sister, just like he saw in the vision, rise up and walk. He said something, lifted up the woman up, out from the wheelchair, almost out. Of the fish in the air. And the woman grabbed the air and fell down back on the and said, well, we don't have faith. The woman said, oh no, Pastor, that she would die in this wheelchair. That was what happened. I said, why did the Lord show you that vision? Just to teach us that sometimes confession of your faith may be the problem. The woman has said she's going to die in that wheelchair and not be healed. And that was how she died in the wheelchair. Another day, and she never really got healed. But the man that was giving testimony, the pastor, Kenneth was saying, sometimes the vision may show you the something that it will happen when we want it to happen. It's just be a witness or to teach us some lessons. The lesson is that that woman did not mix her faith with the prayer. So it's very important that we know that. But what are we talking about today? That the leading of the Lord will be very useful. You don't, there will be no thing to make you be afraid. The Lord leads you to pray for somebody, just pray. The Lord leads you to talk to somebody, just talk. And let the Lord do the rest. But the Lord has done some background work that you do not know about. So that is what we are learning today, that yes, like I said, it's the leading of the Lord that is the best way to minister. When he leads you and he talks to you. Even if you see a crowd, you go to the park, somebody sits down there, and that person down there, and that people gather over the lock and say, talk to this fellow. Talk to that fellow, he may be the one that is already prepared, and you lead him or her to Christ. And that has happened in many places. Many places. But occasionally, like I said, there could be some people that the Lord just wanted them to hear a witness, because if they did not bulge, something calamity was at their door that they didn't know about. Like the man I just mentioned, his wife was going to die that day. The Lord said, get up, go to this house. And I went there, the man refused to be bulge. That is warning for us. But see, when the Holy Ghost is leading us, another thing somebody wants us to know, another, a minister said this way, don't leave your house without it. Like some of the advertisements that you hear. Don't leave your house without the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Holy Ghost is the power that gives us, not just ministers, everyone that is filled with the Holy Ghost, is the power that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to bring us dynamite to do his work. Let me wrap up with that. Open to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And then Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse 8. That is the power God gave to us, the Lord Jesus gave to us to say, Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Remember that. And Luke chapter 24, verse 49 also mentioned similar thing. That is, the Holy Ghost is given to us to endure his power. Verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So the endowment with power is the Holy Ghost that you and I need. You don't leave home without it. Before you go out, make sure you are full of the Holy Ghost. And then you have nothing to be afraid of. Just speak. You are not the one that is saving souls. You are not the one that is comforting anybody. It's Jesus. But you are the one to be his mouth. Amen? How many of us want to do it? Students. College students. How many of you are ready to do it? To witness somebody. Tell them about Jesus. Put it upon yourself. You will be amazed the power that the Lord Jesus will follow you with. Say, these signs follow them that believe. Amen? And in your place of work, how many of you are bold enough to say, how many are going to be bold from now on? Not to have bold. How many want to be bold? If you say, I need that boldness, then you need the Holy Ghost. If the boldness is lacking, you need the Holy Spirit of God. When I was growing up, people talk to me and say, this boy is so soft-spoken, he can't talk. That was how I was recognized, I was known in my hometown. But when the Holy Ghost came upon me, I became a believer, he couldn't shut me down. I was going to start talking to strangers. Oh, God has opened this man's mouth. That is what the Holy Ghost wants to do for you. He wants to open your mouth. Because you have something to say now. When you have not the Holy Ghost and you are just being raised, you have nothing to say. So I kept my mouth shut. And they thought, this boy is so moody, he doesn't talk to anybody. When the Holy Ghost came upon me, I was knocking on people's door and talking to them and saying, wow, what happened? God has opened his mouth. And the Holy Ghost wants to open your mouth. That is the power that you don't need to be afraid. Yeah, I say there may be persecution. Yeah, what? You say you when you are persecuted for Jesus Christ's sake, he said now you are in the category of prophets. You are now in the class of prophets when they persecute you. So you shouldn't be, you should be, say rejoice for that. So that is what I'm challenging you with. Take it upon yourself to begin to witness to somebody. Don't say, well, yeah, I don't have time for that Saturday. You don't have to be Saturday when everybody's going. Even easier when you go with a team, you know, like you hide in the midst of the crowd. All of us get 7 minutes, all of us go together. Yeah, you can hide in the midst of the crowd. That makes it easier to be to witness. But one-on-one, when you are in your in a place of work, well, look at it difficult, then that is where you are challenged, where you can really make more impact. That patient, that is your pre-patient in the hospital, and you are the nurse, you say, well, you are not allowed to talk religion here, nurse. Well, this is not religion, it's life. Find the opportunity like Jesus Christ did and start with some conversation, and you'll be surprised how the Lord is using you to minister to souls. I was college student here, no, college, my master's degree when I was doing master's program in Arizona State University. And I was giving tracts to some of my students because they were, I was teaching what we call lab, physics lab, as a teaching assistant. And I made a mistake, I gave 2 or 3 tracts to some of these students. And one of them was so mindful of it, and she went, a lady, a Jew. I didn't know she was a Jew. She went and gave it to the head of the department. This man is preaching his religion in my in our class. And if I don't accept this religion, I may fail the class. That was lying also. And the following day, they called me and said, Julius, come, come, come. I have to fire you right now. And I was, that's the only thing I was depending upon. The only thing I was depending upon to even pay school fees, teaching assistantship. I said, but I have nobody. Class has started 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row. They have nobody. See, don't do it anymore. Give it to anybody. So I was panicking. That was persecution also. I was afraid. But the Lord, when I left the class, the Lord told me that I didn't know who submitted, but I knew I only gave the tract to one person. It was who had turned it in. And I said, tell them for me. Tell them for me. I went to my post office and opened it. And the letter I got from R.W. Shamba, evangelist, on the envelope, said, tell them for me. I said, hey, the Lord, tell me something. Tell them for me. Okay. And the following week, I was on boldness. I was in the class, and there comes another class, 2 hour class, the lab class, 2 hours. And one young man came late, almost 1 hour late, almost sweating. And my class said, what happened to you? 1 hour late. Are you just copying what everybody was doing? He said, I have family problem. Family problem? Are you married or somebody's died? No. Well, I didn't want to put myself in trouble. He said, well, if you care to come and discuss it with me, I have all ears. If I cannot do anything, I can pray for you. So he looked at me and said, yeah, I'll come and talk to you. So after the class, he came to me and said, I have this problem. So me and him, we went to the staircase, you know, that's the back of the building where they have the stairs. I have this problem, and I'm seeing things, and I just couldn't concentrate. I couldn't sleep. And I could understand what he was seeing. Demons. How did you get to be that? I was reading these books. The magic book? Yes. That was how he was being trapped. The devil wanted to stop me from getting to that point. That's why a week or two, he put some flag and said, don't let this boy preach, this man preach religion here. So I told the young man, I said, yeah, I know what you are seeing. And I can pray for you right now. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. In the back of that building, which is staircase, nobody walk on the staircase. Everybody use the elevator. So I prayed for him. While I was up, he said, I can see them. They are here. And I said, well, he said, don't worry about them. They know who I am. They are center. They were standing at a distance from you. So I prayed for him, took him to church. We were still going to Evangelist near Frisbee Church. I brought this young man, a white guy, to church. And in the church, he was still like this. Can see them. He was still seeing them. So people were singing and praying me, and he stood by myself. By that time, I was not married. I was still single. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Tell this young man, does he want to be delivered? Let him say with his own mouth. So I stop and say, so, I can't remember his name. The Lord said, do you really want to be delivered from these things? Said, yes. The Lord said, both of you kneel down, you pray for him. But both of us, while these people are singing in the church, I knelt down and put my hand upon his shoulder and I command those things to disappear. And the Lord took them away. The Lord took those things away from him. When he came up from the kneel, he said, Julius, I'm free. I'm free. That was how he was delivered. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is that, hey, don't let the devil intimidate you. Is what I'm talking about. The devil will try to put flag when he knew that somebody there may be delivered. Try to stop you before you get to him. But don't let them stop you. You have a client, your patient, that the devil say, well, don't talk religion here because they know that you have the power to deliver that woman that is in sick bed, or that boy, or that man that is dying. You have the authority, you have the power. Jesus will use you if you only just be bold enough to take it to the woman or to the man or to the boy. But see, the devil saw that ahead and tried to say, don't let this man preach his religion or religion here. This is hospital, or this is school. You are not allowed to talk to the, they say you are a teacher. Don't talk to the student with religion. Man, if Jesus can put upon your heart, oh, Jesus. The worst they can do is to fire you, and Jesus Christ is watching. Praise the Lord. So that is why I say, let's stand up. That's the end of the prayer meeting of the exhortation. Let's stand up. Talk to Jesus for that boldness. And if you want the Holy Ghost, you want the Holy Ghost. How they come by? The come by. Yes, come forward. If you want the Holy Ghost, come on this front line. We just minister the Holy Ghost to you right now before we wrap it up. If you want the Holy Ghost, come forward, because the Holy Ghost gives you power to endure with power. As Christ said, they shall be endued with power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon them. So anybody that wants the Holy Ghost and you believe Jesus can give it to you right now, we are just going to lay our hand upon you and pray for you. Come forward, and there's nobody in the front room, means that nobody wants the Holy Ghost. But you already have the Holy Ghost, let him stir you up. Okay? Just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. If there's anybody that you want to minister the Holy Ghost to, give them boldness to come forward and lay your hand upon the person and you feel them, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of God. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this, Lord. You are good and your mercy endures. We thank you, Lord, for this exhortation that talks about how we can evangelize for Jesus. Personal evangelism and every intimidation the devil uses to make people not to want to speak because they are ashamed, they are afraid. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the only power God has to save anybody. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Let your name, O Lord God, be praised. And give everybody boldness. As many as you have given the Holy Ghost to, help them to be bold to witness for you in their corner and minister through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.